It's The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. In the late 1960s, Fred Hampton, chairman of the Illinois chapter of the Black Panthers, galvanized residents of Chicago by championing programs aimed at economic justice, including a free breakfast program for children. In 1969, Hampton was killed by police officers in a raid on his apartment, and he was only 21 years old. Here he is speaking to a crowd in a clip from the 1971 documentary, The Murder of Fred Hampton.
Bobby Seale is going through all types of physical and mental torture. But that's all right, because we said even before this happened, and we're going to say it after this, and after I'm locked up, and after everybody's locked up, that you can jail revolutionaries, but you can't jail a revolution.
Bang. This week, Hampton's story is being brought to an even bigger audience through the movie Judas and the Black Messiah, which is out on Friday on HBO Max. Directed by Shaka King, the film depicts Hampton through the eyes of William O'Neill, an FBI informant who infiltrated the Black Panthers and supplied federal agents with information that led to the killing of Hampton. Brothers Keith and Kenny Lucas are two of the writers behind Judas and the Black Messiah. And they're perhaps best known for their comedy work, but the Lucas brothers have also been working to bring the life of Fred Hampton to the screen for more than 6 years. Keith and Kenny, thanks for joining us on The Takeaway. How are you?
We're good. Hey,
thanks for having us.
Oh my God. I just have a question. Are you guys going to answer in harmony for all the questions? That's what we
try
want.
To.
Okay.
We try
excellent. To. Excellent. Okay. Well, let me throw this one to Keith. Or Kenny, you first pitched Fred Hampton's story to film studios around 2014. It's now 2020/2021 film season. It took a lot of time to get the film made. Why is that?
I guess, you know, a lot of capitalist studios weren't jumping for joy to tell a story about a Black socialist. So, you know, also, I don't want to speak for Kenny, but we weren't the best at pitching the story, too. So, you know,
speak for yourself. I was excellent. I think you nailed it the first time. They didn't want to buy a story about a Black socialist.
Well, it's finally here. The film centers around the FBI informant, William O'Neill. Why, which is an interesting take here. Why did you guys decide to look at Hampton from his perspective?
I think we just felt like, it would make for a more thrilling story from a cinematic perspective. I just felt like we had more to work with from that angle. While I think Hampton's story is fascinating, you can't separate it from the FBI and COINTELPRO. So I think if you're going to tell a big story like this, you might as well go all in.
And we also wanted to juxtapose William O'Neill with Fred Hampton. We thought that, you know, at least philosophically, it would be interesting to see one person who was fully committed to a belief system and another person who was basically ambivalent about politics. We just thought the juxtaposition was a lot stronger.
And you went from comedy to this film. And so how does this fit into, were you guys looking to broaden the range that you had, or did you find these two things were sort of compatible in some way?
We've always been pretty sad guys. I think I think comedy was just the first outlet that we could just sort of, grasp and have fun doing, but we always had intentions on trying more dramatic stuff just because it was an exercise that we wanted to, you know, try.
Yeah, I've always been fascinated with tragedy. We used to study it in college. We studied Greek tragedy. And I think that was always an interest to us. How can we tell stories that employed elements of Greek tragedy?
We on this show talk a lot about the empathy gap in this country. And one of the things that you and I actually have in common is that we grew up in affordable housing / public housing in urban areas. I in New York, you guys in Newark, New Jersey. How did that experience shape your work? And is that an experience that has helped you open up to being empathetic and how people can build empathy for others?
Yeah, I would say that it was fundamental in our development. Just living in such entrenched poverty, you can't help but like be more empathetic towards your fellow man, because so much is so like shared. You're concerned about their safety from a physical standpoint. You're concerned about the safety of your family from a, you know, a mental standpoint, and you grow very close with your kin. I would also say that, you know, growing up in that circumstance, you're sort of living in like a war zone in a sense, and you develop sort of existential, I developed an existential take on a lot of things, and it certainly made me gravitate toward storytelling and philosophy, I would say.
And yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I was going to say, you know, when you grow up in such conditions, it shapes your mind, you know, and you know, we develop PTSD because of how we grew up. And I think, you know, you see that play out in a lot of the work that we make. You know, we try to get inside the minds of our characters and why they make the decisions that they make. And it's in large part shaped by the conditions that they grow up in. And so I think you see that play out at least with O'Neill and Judas and the Black Messiah.
And it also, we've talked a lot about the power of comedy and humor on this show. And I wonder if that's also a way to sort of deal with, as you described it. And it's interesting, I've described it that way myself, growing up in that systemic and entrenched poverty can have long-lasting effects.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I mean, comedy was a refuge for us. I mean, without it, I don't think we would have survived. I mean, it's like being able to laugh in spite of being in such tough conditions. It's just like, again, it's a way to get through it. Now, I wouldn't overly rely on comedy. I think people should get therapy if they can afford it, et cetera. But, you know, without being able to afford therapy, like, comedy is like the next best thing.
Yeah, I would say comedy is like that first line of defense against sort of those issues, those debilitating psychological issues. It provides you like that instant relief, and it's free. Obviously, you have to, you know, get more scientific as you get older. But when you're really young, it's a refuge, as my brother said.
Do you suspect that I'm wondering, we're asking a lot of our guests during the pandemic if they're finding room for joy in a very difficult moment. We've got 1 minute left, 30 seconds for both of you. What's bringing each of you joy?
Being able to be with my brother, be with my girlfriend, to spend the time with, you know, the family that I can't spend time with, that's bringing me the most joy.
Yeah, without a doubt, my family, my friends, and my dog.
Well, that's there you have it. Keith and Kenny Lucas are co-writers and co-producers for Judas and the Black Messiah. Keith, Kenny, thanks so much.
Thank you.